In Ezra now for 2 or 3 weeks, and one of the things that we heard back in chapter 1 is the king said, who will go? Amen? It's funny how you read the Bible and you see a whole lot of things that seem to apply to missions. In other words, it just seems time and again that God's looking for somebody to go, whether it's next door or around the world. And so chapter 2, in a sense, is the answer to that question. Now, got to remember a couple of things that we know from other places in the Bible and then from geography. First of all, it's been 70 years since these people went into captivity. How many of you here? No, I won't ask. But not many of us are over 70, just a few. And so most of these people that are going to be named, I suspect a very, very, very great majority of them have never known anywhere except Babylon. They were born there. They were raised there. Their life is there. Their home is there. Their family is there. Their occupation is there. Everything they have is in Babylon. They're God's people. They're Israelites, but they were born in captivity, and they are they never have been to Jerusalem. And a few of the people that went back, a very few, had been to Jerusalem, but the great majority of them, no, they never had been there. Second thing we know, approximately 900 miles that they're going to travel, and no jet airplane, no bus, no car, no truck, no moving van, no, in fact, the very great majority of them walked. And there were some animals, and I suspect there were some weaker folks that got to ride, but most of them walked, and they took with them what they could carry. You say, how far is 900 miles? Denver by road is 917. Anybody would have walked to Denver? And took them about, I think it was 10 weeks. I've got that written down here. I'll tell you in a minute if I'm wrong there. Let me see, what did I say? It's, anyway, took them up. They traveled about 10 miles a day, so it was about 90 days, whatever that is, to make that trip. And all of them went together, and they knew something. They never were going to return. There were some people that stayed behind. They never would see those people again. You start to see a lot of similarities with the Christian life. Didn't we, as when we decided to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't we started a journey that we weren't on before? We're on the way to eternity, amen, to heaven specifically. Everybody's on their way to eternity, but we leave things behind. Not trying to get them back, not trying to be saved and have everything in the world, all the sin and things like that. It's a completely new destination. So I cannot read the whole chapter, but we're going to kind of pick and choose the first two verses, and then we're going to jump down to verse 64. And so if you'd stand for the reading of God's word, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and then drop down to verse 64 and read down to verse 70. Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city, which came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Realiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvay, Rehum, Baana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. And then he begins to list the children of, and I'm just going to skip over that for now. I encourage you to read that sometime, but drop down to verse 64 if you would please. The whole congregation together was 42,303, beside their servants and their maids, of whom there were 7,337, and there were among them 200 singing men and singing women. Their horses were 736, their mules 245, their camels 435, their asses 6,720. And some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. They gave, after their ability, unto the treasure of the work, 61,000 drams of gold, 3,000 pounds of silver, or 5,000 pounds of silver, and 100 priests' garments. So the priests and the Levites and some of the people and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims dwelt in their cities and all Israel in their cities. Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, just help us tonight as we spend a few minutes thinking about what happened here on this day and how it still can apply to us in some interesting ways. And I do pray that you help each of us to realize that as we sing that song, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And that we do have an eternal destination, a home in heaven, a place to lay up treasure, a place where we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity, a place where there's no sin, no sickness, no trials or burdens, but the blessing of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, help us to look up and to see that. And it may seem like it's a long ways off, but truly, it's a journey that we're taking. It's a worthy purpose. It's a wonderful destination. And most of all, we go to that place because the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to take that journey. And he sets the stage and defines the path and gives us the strength to take step by step. Thank you again for what we'll see tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a number of lists of names in the Bible. And we were in Numbers a while back, and there were some lists of names there. Chronicles has lists of names. Here we have in Ezra 2 some names. Of course, you have the genealogy of Christ in Matthew and in Luke. And you might read that list of names, and you probably don't know any of those people. I mean, you had never have met them, of course. You don't know anybody with that name. And you think, well, that's not too exciting. But if your name was in there, it would be, wouldn't it? There, you're going to meet some folks in heaven in eternity, and their name's in the list. What would distinguish them from other people? How did they get on the list? And the fact of the matter is, they were willing to go. They were willing to do what God wanted them to do. Amen? And, you know, the Bible says our names are written in heaven. Amen? Your name, if you're saved, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is it? Amen. Amen. And if it's not written there, there's a different kind of judgment that you face someday. I hope all of us here can say that it is. I think we can. So these lists of names might not be that exciting to us, but God's got them there for a reason. This list is virtually duplicated in Nehemiah chapter 7. And remember, Ezra went to build the temple. Nehemiah went to build the wall. Ezra went to restore the sacrifices and the worship. Nehemiah went to restore the civil order and to build the wall around the city to protect it. And anytime you build for God, the devil doesn't like it. And he's going to try and stop you. He's going to try and discourage you. And I think certainly one of the most discouraging things to begin with is, I'm not thinking I'd like to walk 900 miles. And you realize they had some animals, and I'm sure some weaker folks rode them, and some of the cargo was on the animals. But I suspect most of those people were carrying, you know, what they needed as much as they could. And 900 miles, about 10 miles a day until you got there. And then when you get there, you got to go to work and rebuild. It's not that way in heaven, amen? When we get there, the building has already been done. The Lord Jesus Christ prepared the homes and so forth for us. Now, we saw back in chapter 1 the vessels. Remember the vessels that took for the house of the Lord? And there were thousands of them. These are vessels as well. You and I are vessels. We talked about that. And they, too, have been preserved by the Lord. God's in control there, and he had them ready to go. There are nine categories of people that are returning, and it's just kind of interesting to look at this, and I'll point some verses out to you that you can look at. First of all, there are the people of Israel listed in verses about 2 through verse 35. The priests in verses 36 through 39. Then the Levites, which are the priests, of course, are Levites, but not all the Levites are priests. They're in verse 40. The singers, well, folks, God cares about music and worship. Amen. What are we going to sing on Sunday? Do we know yet? Yes. I bet you we sing one day. No, Mrs. Schaefer's been practicing. She knows we're not going to sing one day. some good songs about resurrection, though. He arose. That's a good song. Amen? Yeah. And you picked that, right?
Yes.
And so on Sunday, when we sing, just remember this, we're not singing to each other, we're singing to the Lord. Amen? And do you get excited about the fact that he arose? Amen? Joey, you're going to sing real loud on Sunday, right? And on key this time. Just kidding. Okay. No, we sing to the Lord because we are. It is a part of worship, and it is something that we enjoy doing, and it does change the way we feel when we sing. The children of the porters, the Nethinims, temple servants, are what those people are. The descendants of Solomon's servants, and then those of uncertain ancestry. That's kind of humorous. It's just we're not sure where these people came from, but they follow the Lord. And our ancestry maybe not be specific, and we may not have great credentials, but when you follow the Lord, that's a good thing. The children of the priests who were polluted, that's another group there. And then we get a number in verse 64, 46,695. I don't know where I got that number. That's not quite right. But anyway, I'll read it out of the verse 64. 42, it's those two numbers added together. 42,360 in verse 64. And then another 7,337 in verse 65. And so you come up with a little under 50,000 people. And those numbers and some of those names and so on are also mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 7. Let's see. They had about 6,700 asses, 435 camels. They had let's see here. They had some horses, 736 horses, and God provided those so that they could have some help along the way. And then again, according to one source, the journey was about 900 miles. Probably took them about 4 months. And just to remind you, they never went back. Now, this is just a really obvious little application of what's going on here, and it won't take too long, but first of all, just like God put this group of people in this time, in this place, in this work, folks, churches, God puts together us in this time, in this place, for this work. Amen? And the churches all over the country like that, and missionaries. I get excited about thinking of places like Nelson Dorr down there in Mexico, or Steve Harris down there in Mexico, people that I know pretty well. But all of our missionaries, the Kokenzies and others. Oh, by the way, I just read a letter from the Trells. Remember we were talking about them? They are going back, looks like this month. Amen. To Iraq. That's kind of funny. That's where these people came from almost. And the Trells are going back there. But anyway, God puts a group of folks together and off they go. Think about this journey just for a minute. And as it comes to a conclusion in verse 70, they get there and they move into their cities. Sometimes we compare our walk with God, our Christian life, to a journey. We got us closed tonight with We're Marching to Zion. Greg, can you find that one? I don't know if it's in the hymn book. But that's an interesting song. We think about that. You know, I'm bound for the promised land. Our journey, the journey that you take for the Lord is worthwhile. Amen? Why? Somebody want to tell me? Why is this road we're on, why is it worthwhile? Okay, the Lord saved us so that we can take that journey. So what he did to allow us, amen, okay. Sir?
He has a plan.
Yeah, along the way, God goes with us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm thinking of a couple of things. Yes, sir, Bob. Yeah, there's work to be done along the way, and it's for the Lord. One of the things I like to think about is, As we walk with God through our life on the way to eternity, it is a walk that if we do it right, it will please him. Amen? Amen? And then I got to say, isn't the destination worth going to? Amen? And what does the Bible say? Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Because after all, we're travelers. We're not here to accumulate wealth. If you want to accumulate wealth, send it ahead. Amen. And serve the Lord. It's a worthwhile journey. It glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleases him. The destination is wonderful. Now then, I think about this journey. If you were on this journey that they took, 900 miles, 10 miles a day, 50,000 people, I think there's a lot of work to be done. Somebody had to eat. Somebody had to cook. Somebody had to carry food, acquire food, whatever. I'm sure there was a lot of cleaning to be done. I'm sure there was some times when you had to help the older folks along. You had to help the younger folks along. Somebody had to make sure the children all made it. And lots of jobs to be done, not to mention all this material that they took with them, these thousands of vessels and feeding the animals. Somebody had to feed the animals. We could sit here for 20 minutes and think about different jobs they had to do. And you know why I found out? When everybody works, it makes it a whole lot easier. Don't you think God's got a job for all of us in church? Amen? And the fact of the matter is, I'm sorry to say, sometimes people get the idea that going to church just means showing up from 11 to 12 on Sunday and 6 to 7 on Sunday night and maybe 7 to 8 on Wednesday night. There's a whole lot more that goes into it than those 3 hours a week. Amen? I'm not just talking about the folks that work in the school every day. That's obviously one of the jobs. But there's a lot of different things that we need to do. Bus ministry, visitation, keeping track of missions, handling the money, cleaning the buildings, running the sound system. We're doing some research right now. Jeremy's been helping me a little bit with this. We'd like to put a projector up there on that bar. And we've got a screen back here. I think it works. It's in that room right there. I cannot hang that screen by myself. Now, I know Mark Hall has a scaffold. That's a big win. But we need to get that screen put up, hopefully right behind that wall back there. And we need to get electricity to it and a switch on it. And then once we get that done, we need to put a projector on there and get it connected to the computer back there and the sound system and everything else. It's work. Let me ask you, just in your own mind, don't answer out loud, obviously. What jobs do you do at church? Say, I'm too young. Oh, I don't think so. I've seen 10-year-olds empty trash cans. Amen? I've seen 12 and 13 and 14-year-olds knock doors. I've seen these guys, I don't know how many hundred, if not thousand, door hangers they've done. And some of the other teens here with me on Tuesday nights, we've done a bunch of door hangers this last year. Folks, everybody can serve. Please don't think, oh, I'm just there for the walk. Yeah, let's look at those guys working so hard. This is a great trip. Everybody ought to be involved, amen? Isn't that fair that we all do a part of the work, amen? Whether it's visiting or whether it's teaching or whether, you know, I was just thinking that the Angel family has a new baby. We need to get a nursery going again, don't we? Amen? That's work. We've had some children here on Sunday nights, and some people have just volunteered to take them out, but we need to have preparations for those kind of things. There's a lot to be done around here. We walked out of church Sunday morning, and I think it's about a full-time job just to manage the exit signs around here, don't you think? We've spent more time messing around with these silly exit signs. And so sure enough, the one in the hall out there, the mount broke somehow. I suspect there was some help there, but anyway. And it just fell down hanging from the wires. Okay, so now we got to buy an exit sign, two of them actually, because Michelle's got one in her classroom broken. What do we got, like 500 of those things around here somewhere? I don't know. But anyway, two of them are broken, so we need to get two more. Got to put them up. These banners up here, someone's got to put them up. There's some cracks in the ceiling that need to be fixed. There's a toilet urinal in the men's restroom that needs to be repaired, still broken, right? There's a lot of things to be done around here. Amen? The question should not be, I wonder who's going to do that. The question ought to be, I wonder if I can help. 50,000 people, 900 miles. I suspect everybody just about that was worthwhile had a job. And, you know, you and I have jobs to do, don't we? Do you? If you need to find a job, let's see how we can do this. Mr. Dahlman can point some things out that you could do around the buildings. Mr. Mendez could point some things that you could do around a lot of things, the school and the buildings and all sorts of things. Mr. Gonzalez has been helping us out with these exits. He's the exit sign manager, amen? And he's been helping us with that, but he could use some help. Who was it, me and who else, were putting lights up in the ceiling over here in this last work day? And the ladies have said they think we need to have work days twice a year. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, no, I'd have to lose a Saturday morning. Yeah, there's work to be done, amen? And, you know, the church sure looks good when we come out here and put it all back together and clean it up and fix it up, doesn't it? And then Brother Leo was big on this. Brother Leo, when he got here, he said, Pastor, he said, there's a problem in the men's restroom and it doesn't look good. And he said, when visitors come to our church and see that we don't care enough to take care of that restroom, it reflects on our love for God. Right? Folks, there's work to be done. If you don't have a job, talk to us. We'll help you, amen? And besides that, isn't it rewarding when you serve God? Amen? I get a thrill out of getting a job done and seeing it. I still like walking down the hall and seeing that all the lights work again. And they're bright. And they're LED. The bulbs won't burn out. And they didn't cost hardly anything because I bought them on Amazon. Amen? And I like them so much, I put one in my garage. And Brother Matt put one in his garage. I like to see a job well done. It's a blessing to look around and say, hey, all the exit signs work. And is any of these you haven't fixed? I think you've done all of these probably. I remember the time a couple of years ago on a Wednesday night, we came in and I can't explain the technicalities of it, but we had an electrical problem in our building and there was smoke coming out of the speakers up here. And we lost a whole bunch of things to electricity, had to file an insurance claim, lost our fire alarm box. And the insurance company, praise the Lord, paid for most of that. But you know, it's nice to see it all fixed. And you say, I didn't fix it. Somebody did, amen? There's things to be done. There's things to be done. There was work to be done on this journey. And there's work to be done on our church's journey, if you want to call it that. And everybody should have had a job. Now, there's another thing that I see about this, and I can't take too much time, but how fast do you think they could travel? I already told you, 10 miles a day. That's not very far, really. If you take off walking and you have average health, you're not an athlete, but you're not crippled either, you walk about 3 to 3.5 miles an hour if you're walking at a decent pace, okay? You think about that, okay, 3.5 miles an hour, that's 3 hours to go 10 miles. Why do you think it took them a whole day to just go 10 miles? Say it. I don't think so. Some of them couldn't go any faster, right? And there was a lot of other things to do besides walk. But here's a thought. The limitation when you're trying to stay together is you travel at the speed of the slowest person there. A lot of people say, oh, these slow people are driving us crazy. No, those aren't slow people. Those are God's people. You and I look around church and we see, I hope it's not this bad, but it could be. We see somebody and they're not as faithful. They're not as strong. They're not as, well, what word do I use? Is that getting in trouble? They're not as close to God. Let's say it that way. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that we should receive them in Romans and not unto doubtful disputations. They're not here to judge and condemn. Folks, we're all in this together. The strongest Christian here, if that's the way you want to look at it, and the weakest one, in this company that they had, the fastest walker and the slowest walker, they're all part of God's company. And you stay together. Amen? And what do you do when you're traveling and you see a brother fall behind or a sister fall behind? Say, I knew they were going to fall behind. They were weak. I bet you they starve in a couple of days. Is that what you do? You go back and get them. We used to run in the Army. I was talking to somebody today about running, and I could tell he was not thinking that was a good idea. We used to run in the Army. We'd run 3 or 4 miles at a time. And when somebody fell out, you know what we would do? We'd go back and get them and bring them along. And we were told time and time again, the unit will not be able to travel any faster than the weakest person in the unit. Now, there's two thoughts there. You ought to be strong as you can, amen? Not to hold up the group, but those of the Bible says this. I can almost quote the verse that the weak should be supported by the strong. Those of us that are strong should care for those that are weak. Amen? We're all in this together. You look around. Who's not here tonight? Have you encouraged those people that aren't here tonight? Have you called them? Say, Pastor, somebody else will do that. You know, if we all say that, nobody else will do that. Right? God put us all together. We are a body. You know, right now, it's a terrible illustration. I have one weak spot in my body. It's worse than any other, and it's a silly hole in my mouth where there used to be a tooth, and it's about to drive me crazy. But I didn't chop my jaw off to get rid of it. I'm trying to make it get better. I broke my toe one time. It's amazing how much one broken toe can change your life. But you don't cut your foot off, right? You try to heal it. You look around us at folks that are missing or folks that are struggling or folks that, and you know they're struggling. Folks, they're part of us. We ought to bring them along. When we get there, we all want to get there. Amen? Say, well, they're too weak. I'm going to go ahead. I don't think, and I'm being facetious, I know that's not what God wants of us. Amen? So there's work to be done. There are people to be supported. I know the strongest among the group could have made the journey in probably a third of the time. And then, isn't it interesting, they all didn't have the same, I can use different words here, gifts, abilities, roles, tasks, responsibilities, or whatever. And when you look at that list, you've got some people that can sing. They probably were terrible at carrying heavy things, but they could sing. You have some people here that are porters. They're really good at carrying things, but they probably couldn't carry a tune. You have some people here, and they're just people. They're not Levites, they're not singers, they're not porters, but they matter. Folks, we've all got a job to do. We've all got a role to fill. You say, well, you know, those people, that group sitting over there, those people there, whatever, they're not. No, we're all important. Amen? How do you look at other people? I one of the things that you know I just do not care for is when folks judge other people as being inferior to them. That is not why God put us here. Amen? You may be better than somebody. You may be worse than somebody. You know what you are? You're what God made you. You may have a lot of faith. You may not have a whole lot of faith. You can increase that faith by spending more time in the Bible. But you are what God made you. We've got young people. We've got old people. There's people here that have been saved a short while. People have been saved for a long while. But we are what God made us. Amen? And we're all in it together. We're all on the journey together. Guess what? We're all going to the same place. Amen? And guess what? Christ died for all of us. Amen? And now don't misunderstand this and misapply it. I'm talking to saved people. I'm talking to people that are saved, and so when you get saved and you become part of a church, we do have the same destination. We do have the same journey, and the Bible says that we ought to love each other. Is that foreign to us? We ever think about that? You know, when you love somebody, you know what you do? You care for them. You protect them. You keep an eye on them. You help them. You try to make them happy. You try to be a blessing to them. Amen? You want to be a good Christian? Love other Christians. Amen? Love the Word of God. Love the Lord. Love other believers. And you're just about there. Amen? And that's what's happening on this journey. It's a hard journey, isn't it? It's a long journey. If we as a church set out on foot to walk to Denver, I'm thinking, oh boy, this is going to take a long time. It's going to be hard. But praise the Lord, He's going to get us there. And, you know, some of us have been on the journey for a long while. We're getting a little weary, maybe. But the Lord's the one that determines the destination. And He says, keep on walking. And when we get there, what's going to happen is, wow, I'm way out of time. When we get there, you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, I could have done better on that journey. I could have done some more. I could have been more helpful. I could have taken care of some people. I could have brought some more folks along. I could have protected some folks. Let's be careful. Amen. It's very practical. When these folks got there, and they had a lot of work to do once they got there, but they were home. They were in the place God gave them. And folks, when we get to heaven, things are going to be all different. No sin, no sickness, no weak faith. In church, in heaven, everybody's going to be there every Sunday. Amen? But in the meantime, we've got a journey to take together. We've got some work to do, don't we? I hope you're holding up your part of the work. I hope you're not holding up the progress of the group. I hope you're staying with the weak and you're praying for them and caring for them and not rushing ahead and forgetting about them. And I hope you realize that whatever gifts you've got, they came from God. And somebody else may not have those gifts. Their task may not seem as important as yours is. But you know what? The guy that washed the pots was just as important as anybody else. And I was in the Army. I don't know if anybody else here that was in the Army. Mark, you guys were all Air Force. You had kitchens and stuff. We were in the Army and we were out in the field. And you know what we would do? We would get a big trash can full of hot water to wash our dishes. Anybody here done that but me? Okay. Wayne, you know, you were Army, right? Oh, praise the Lord, Army. Okay. Mark, you're Air Force. You don't count, right? You went to the field. Okay. I know. That's what I'm talking about. The Army guys, yeah. So you would eat, and if you were using a mess kit, I know that none of you know what that is. It's this thing you eat out of. And when you finished, you had to use it again. And if you didn't get it clean enough, you got sick. I'm sure glad somebody that seemed really unimportant got the water hot and put the soap in it so I could get my mess kit clean so I wasn't sick all the time. Now, that's an easy job. It's an important job. Amen? Folks, what are you doing? Are you busy? I just would be embarrassed to be walking along all day. I'm sure glad somebody's cooking for me. I'm sure glad somebody's cleaning up after me and taking care of the dishes and taking care of the animals and taking care of the... This is really a fun trip. I'm really enjoying this. If that's your idea of going from here to heaven, you should be ashamed of yourself. Amen? Get busy. Amen? Amen. Don't get too quiet on me here, all right? Let's all stand and pray.